Blog Talk Radio.
Remind me next time to change the intro of this music. I think after 3 seasons, it's time to change the music, you know? Oh, well. Ladies and gentlemen, welcome to another crazy edition of the Absolute Truth Show right here on Blog Talk Radio on a Monday night. Yes, we are back on a Monday night. I am your host with the most, the King of King himself, the man who has not resigned for working for Donald Trump. I am the Hot Rod. And on the phone line, I have the one, the biggest Trump supporter in the world. Yes, he is. He is the one, not only.
Oh, so we started the show already? Oh, my bad. Sean Black in the building once again. How you doing?
Okay. And on the other phone line, I have the lovely, the talented, the press secretary herself, Anita B.
Hello, gentlemen. How are you?
Buenos evening.
Okay. You better be careful, Sean Black, before ICE will come after and deport your ass.
I understand.
Apparently, Obamacare has been around for 17 years. Did you not know this?
Yes. It's been around since, Clinton's last year, Bush's first year. Apparently, it's been a real uphill battle to get rid of it, you know.
Rodney, did you not hear that tonight?
Yeah. Yes, I did hear it. 17 years.
Was 17 years.
But once again, that was all part of the fake news, okay? Now, let's keep that in mind. It was the fake news that promoted the 17 years of Obamacare.
Mm-hmm.
But don't you have to be president for 8 years, give or take?
Well, that's about as long as you can be in there for 2 terms, so. Unless we get Michael Bloomberg to get in there and change the amendment and he gets that 3rd term and then gets rid of it when he gets in.
Yeah, but if you get a 3rd term, that's still 12 years, right?
Exactly.
I'm very bad with math, so.
You're much better at math than our president, apparently, so.
Well, but it's coming out of the money. I bet he's very good with that. Counting. But the number to call, ladies and gentlemen, is 347-989-8402. Did you guys feel like pissing on some people today? Not pissing people, pissing on some people.
My name
is not
R. Kelly. So either we're going to piss people off or you piss on people. That's your job, I guess. If you want to piss on someone, you do that. I like to piss people off. And I think Anitra might agree with me on that.
Yeah.
The yellow shower
really isn't my thing.
Oh.
No, she preferred creamy showers.
Let me start.
Well, let me start with Anitra B. Last week on our show, last Thursday, we talked about Linkin Park singer. What's his name again?
Chester Bennington,
thank you. Of course, I'm sure you, like everybody else, was saddened by his death. But my question to you is that there were some people who went on social media that vented. I know on the show we talk about depression all the time, and I know we dedicate a whole show to depression. But a lot of people went on Twitter, Anitra and Sean Black, venting how he was a coward. You know, a lot of people done drugs, a lot of people done alcohol, or some people got through it. He shouldn't have took his life away, especially the great music that he did. He was a very talented guy. Anitra, how do you feel when someone calls someone who committed suicide overall a coward, or they took the easy way out?
They're assholes. You're pretending to understand what someone else feels and thinks. No one can walk in someone else's shoes. That's just a fact. We don't know what was going through his head, and we don't know how he was feeling.
Well, rumors had that, once again, I don't know the whole story, but that his wife was cheating on him with one of the band members, that he was very depressed about his marriage.
He's a manic depressant. Mm-hmm. He was a manic depressant. This is this is, unfortunately, he had a lot of issues. No one can say, oh, if I was in his shoes, we don't know what he was going through. There's only speculations of what was going on in that household. We weren't living there.
Yeah.
True, but Anisha B, you and I, Sean Black, and everybody else who listens to the show, we all go through our own personal problems or our own personal demon, per se. But even though we have our own personal demons, we all have different ways, but we handle it differently.
Yes, but there's a difference, darling. You're not a manic depressant. You don't suffer from depression. You don't have a mental disability. There's a huge line there. Mm-hmm. We don't know what it's like to not want to wake up. We don't have those feelings. You know, like no one on this panel can, I'm sorry, but we can't pretend to know what it feels like to have that illness.
Okay. And it's also, you can't really, if you can't connect on that level as far as what somebody is going to, then you can't pretend to really help the person out in a degree that they would need that help. You can't relate, because then the person that's going through it might not be able to relate to you trying to help them out. And we always know that a lot of people go through different things. Like you just stated, people go through different things. We don't know chemically how their brain is. We don't know what background it is or how extreme what that feeling is or that trigger that is pushing that person over the edge, how they would deal with it. Everybody deals with everything differently on a different level, and they don't know how deeply they're going to be affected by something, whether it's something that is internal, if it's something from the outside that is pushing on maybe an event that might have happened in his life. Maybe this is a recurring instance. Maybe he was dealing with mental illness. We don't know everything involved. But
okay,
for anyone
but Sean,
to go out there. Yeah, go ahead.
But Sean Black, I'd be happy to tell you that people always say there's help out there. He has the money. He can always get help easily. Why not fight it? And why take the easy way out?
It's not always about the help is out there, because you have to remember, when you're in that depressive state, or you're within, let's say you're dealing with manic depression or some sort of mental illness, you don't know what kind of barrier the person has put around themselves, knowing no matter how rich you are, no matter how much money that you have given or how many resources you have, you're not going to be able to help yourself unless you want and recognize that you need the help. And the only way that most people get the help is either when they've hit rock bottom or they realize there is nothing else I can do. And I've heard plenty of stories of other celebrities, other people that are real popular in the business world and like maybe in TV, celebrities, etc., that have said, I hit the lowest I got, and then I was able to get help. Sometimes mm-hmm. that's the only way that you can reach to somebody.
Okay.
Sometimes it's too late.
Exactly. Some people just
can't
be helped.
They just don't want the help. You can't help somebody that doesn't want to be helped.
Oh, trust me. We try to help Sean Black and his mental illness. And look at him.
No, I'm saying, but that's the realization of it. And for people to have the audacity to say that someone took the cowardly way out, you don't know. We don't know what went on between, you know, behind closed doors. We have no idea what was going on in that man's head or what happened in his life. We only know what he allowed people to see or what he told others.
And you know what? On a personal level, even though I know you guys for years, I don't know Sean's true demons or Anitra, and you guys don't know my true demons.
Exactly.
We don't have secrets in ourselves. And the only way I can get secrets out of Anitra is a couple of fruity cocktails, indeed. Sean Black,
get him
from my
get him nice and lick it up, and he starts yapping away.
Oh, boy.
Sean Black, give him some mozzarella sticks. You never shut up. But, all right. I want to do one more quick recap before we move on to the next topic. Last Thursday, again, we got a lot of heat, Sean Black, for our Colin Kaepernick story topic.
Okay.
I want to recap, like I told people, and I'm going to say this again. I don't care what side you're on with Colin Kaepernick, whether you agree or disagree with the knee. I think that story's over with. But once again, is like there's players out there that Sean and I agree that are garbage in the NFL that still get contracts. They still got jobs, while Colin did not get anything yet. And we will talk about Michael Vick, the statement that he made about his hair. And like Sean and I talked about earlier, Dallas Cowboys running back Ezekiel Elliott.
Yes.
And then, once again, another domestic violence dispute is going on about him. But is he going to lose his job? No. So we have all these athletes, especially football players, who have been charged or going to be charged or in some type of controversy of domestic violence, rape. Michael Vick was an ex-convict who actually went to jail. But they all got a second chance. And I think I speak for all three of us. We do believe everyone should deserve a second chance. You know, we all make mistakes. Nobody's perfect, right?
Exactly.
For Colin Kaepernick, technically speaking, he didn't do anything wrong. He didn't break any laws. He just stood ground and, you know, made a statement which went worldwide. Yes, it was a media distraction on the sack of San Francisco 49ers, but he still can't get a job. But, Sean, you give me an answer to that? What was your answer again?
My answer was that it depends on who out there is putting value on what he's protesting. We already know that we know the reason why Kaepernick doesn't have a job, but that's just plain and simple. 32 teams, all of the owners don't want the drama, quote unquote. And we talked about all of these other things. I'll give you two quarterbacks that are in the NFL that are, one is well known, one is not so well known. I'll give you Dan Orlovsky. And I'll also give you Mark Sanchez. In the New York area, people know who I'm talking about as far as Mark Sanchez. Mark Sanchez played with the Jets, and the only thing he's really known for other than getting the two AFC title games is the butt.
The butt.
And he's floated around. He had a chance after Peyton Manning retired to take over the Denver Broncos as the starting quarterback. And he blew that in the preseason. Dan Orlovsky, 6'4", 225-pound quarterback, played for the Lions as a backup quarterback, got a job, and he's well-known for dropping back, getting the ball, and before he to avoid being sacked, he ran out of the back of the end zone and got a safety. That's what he's known for. And
yes. He's
got a job. But Colin Kaepernick, who has gotten to two NFC title games and one Super Bowl, can't get a job in the NFL. We are now almost into August. Training camp's already started. He can't find a job. I think we know why.
But it's funny how, like, that one statement, okay, you know what, Tonitra, as a business owner, we hired Sean Black, a person who is like a scrub, might do okay for your team compared to a loudmouth, make a statement guy like myself. What do you rather have, a good player, but that might bring distraction to your business, or a garbage player who won't take your team anywhere? A good player, but I'm too much of a distraction. A lot of people might hate you.
I can curb that. I can throw enough money away to shut you the hell up.
And that's another thing. If to Sean, if you're Colin Kaepernick, I'm offering you a job, and all I'm telling you is, you know what? I understand what you're representing, but you know what? If you don't want to take a knee to stand in the locker room until the national anthem is over, do you think that's the proper way to do it?
That is one way that it can be done. But if you are Colin Kaepernick and you feel that you are, first of all, his main argument is the fact that he doesn't feel like he's included as far as being an American when the anthem was being sung. That's the original reason why he took the knee. Now, the whole premise of protest is to make people feel uncomfortable and bring attention to what your plight is. If he's doing it in the locker room, you'll get one of two reactions. One, the media is wondering, where's the starting quarterback? He's not on the sideline with his fellow teammates. He's in the locker room. Now you know why. The second way is what he's already done, which is kneel on the sideline before the game starts during the anthem and bring attention to his cause. Problem is, you've now brought although you brought light to the situation, you've now also made it to the extent where everybody else on the team is going to get a lot of the backlash from all of this quote-unquote negative media. The media can be good or it can also be bad, especially in social media.
Let me get something straight. So a football player, someone plays a sport where it's technically, quote-unquote, all-American sport. I've been to football games. I've never seen so many people stop what they're doing when the national anthem comes on. This is, it's tradition. This is what happens at football games. Have you ever, you've been to football games? What's the first, everybody stops. This is what football does. So you told me a football player who wants to succeed in football does this. Of course no one's going to hire him. To me, that's common sense. And I don't follow sport like you guys do. That's common sense.
Yeah.
You're in a sport that is considered the all-American sport. Are you fucking kidding me?
Well, okay, hold on 1 second. 314-381, you're on the air.
Yeah, I was going to make a comment on Republicans and also Kaepernick.
Okay.
Athletes should not.
I'm sorry, what's your name and where you're from?
My name is Pianki. I'm calling from the Midwest.
Okay, how
are
you doing?
Hello.
Pretty good. Athletes should not get involved in political issues.
Why is
and
that?
And for the simple reason.
Why is that? If you want to make a statement.
Well, let's put it like this. The people that pro him doing that is not contributing a dime toward his well-being, being that he don't have a job, and they never have been. But here's the thing. During that period of time, the NFL lost 28% of its viewership. And when you lose 28% of your viewership, that affects your advertisers. Advertising play a great deal, billions of dollars, into the NFL coffers. Another point, your viewership, the ticket buyers, the ticket holders, the season ticket holders, you have a diverse group of people that patronize the NFL. And you cannot offend them. If you do, they will not spend their money. And if they don't spend their money, now you in an economic demise. So athletes should not get involved in politics, no matter what they are. They should talk around them and talk about the team, talk about the game. That's just the way it is. And I hear African Americans complaining about it. Blacks don't have the type of economic power in this country to persuade that sort of movement. They're not the main ones that buy the tickets. They're not the main ones that's paying for the products that's being advertised. So at this point in time, you know, that's just mute. So Kaepernick is out of a job, and I don't know if somebody's going to pick him up or not, because if they do, they take a chance of, you know, going through the same thing with the club. That's my point on that.
Okay, so what should, if, what do you think Kaepernick should do? I'm like, he wants to make an impact on people's lives. He wants to make a statement. If he's not involved in politics, what can he do to help
Kaepernick
America?
Is not making, he's not making an impact on people's lives. Everybody in this country does not favor professional football. What he should have done, went on and played the game. Like, another thing, too. When he was asked why he done it, he should have said he'd done it for religious reasons rather than the reasons that he gave. Or he could have stayed in the locker room for religious reasons.
Here's
all he had to do.
Here's where I'll disagree with you on this. When we look at athletes, and I've heard this for years and years and years on various sports networks and radio stations, when they look at their athletes, they want their athletes to be more transparent and seem more human, to have much more of a cause, because they're tired of the quote-unquote the robotic responses.
Who is the they you talking about?
They, as in a lot of the people that call up the news, that call up the radio stations, the ones that actually going and complaining on radio stations. Well, these guys, they come up and they make all this money, but I don't know how he truly feels about such and such and such.
Let me ask you a question.
About that. Sure, go ahead.
In one of those shows, how many people call up in the given amount of time that this show is on?
If it's a radio show, I would probably say you might get 20 callers in an hour.
You may get five callers. I mean, due to the math, they have commercials that they have to play.
Yeah.
So they're not going to forego making money, listen to somebody, you know, gripe. So that does not mean anything compared to who's watching a $1 million a minute commercial.
True. And all right. Go ahead. All right.
No, go ahead, Kato. Oh, excuse me. Not Kato. Go ahead, Sean.
If that explanation makes sense, because the last thing that the networks want to lose is any money. But see, at the same time, as we're always stating right now, that we're starting to see a little bit of a dip in viewership, a little bit. I don't know if that has anything to do with the concussions that we've been hearing about, all of the other things that have been going on, the impending lockout that may happen in another couple of years, labor strife, injuries. That could be a factor. But I think in general what a lot of people are missing is the tone of the actual protest, what the protest signifies, and the other thing is the ownership in the NFL. There are no African-American owners in the NFL. There is a minority owner in the NFL. His name is Shad Khan. He owns the Jacksonville Jaguars. But other than that, there is no African-American ownership.
Even if it was, you're going to say that blacks would be willing to lose money? I hear them say the same thing about there's no black banks. But if there was black banks is not going to be opt to give out toxic loans where they don't get paid.
True. Well, here's my question. What happened to freedom of speech that we are entitled to, technically speaking?
Freedom of speech is curtailed in the workplace. It's also curtailed on public schools. I mean, we hear about that all the time.
Yeah.
So for him to be making, I mean, there's no freedom of speech in that particular. Well, you can have all the you can speak all you want, but I don't have to pay for it. And that's the message. You know, I'm here in the St. Louis area. They used to have the St. Louis Hawks, the basketball team.
Mm-hmm.
White
mm-hmm.
said, now listen to George Berg. He's dead now. And he made mention that White said that they will not pay money to watch a bunch of gorillas in shorts running up and down the court. Well, guess what? St. Louis Hawks left. I mean, their market folded for them. So you have to look at who's paying the bill.
And most likely it's the white man. White people. White people are paying the bill. The white man.
Absolutely. That's basically where the money's coming. I'll give you another example. Being that the NFL is telecast around the world, and they're advertising to go around the world, you could not speak disparaging about a cow, because in India, cows are sacred.
Mm-hmm.
So it has gotten to be that type of situation. Your market is worldwide. You can't offend nobody. And, I mean, that's just the way it is. Athletes should stick to the game and leave politics alone. Now, if you want politics, you want the activists supposed to do that. Where are the activists?
Oh,
they're supposed
busy.
To be protesting and marching up and down outside of the stadium.
Please
don't put it on the
activists.
Owners.
Activists are full of crap.
Right.
And you know that.
And and they're not putting their nickels and dimes together to help Mr. Colin Kaepernick. And they're not going to do it. I've seen this go back a long time ago with colleges here at the University of Missouri, with the Olympics, 1968 Olympics. Those brothers lost all kind of money. One of them lost his wife. His wife divorced him over that stuff. Now, leave politics alone.
Okay, so you want to talk a little bit about a Republican, you said. What, you want to talk about Trump care or Sean Spicer or
well,
you love Donald
no,
Trump?
No, I supported Trump. For several reasons.
You still do? I'm sorry. You still
support Trump? Oh, absolutely
Trump?
I do.
Okay.
The problem with this this insurance, first place, Congress, the federal government had no business demanding that people get involved with insurance. Now, if the states want to do that, let them do so, like with Medicaid. Federal government's got a problem now with Social Security and Medicare. That should be their emphasis because people pay for those things. Now, leading for the last 7 years, you have had a Republican Congress that every day they talk about repealing Obamacare. Now that they've got the White House and also both houses in Congress, all of a sudden they're absent. Where are they? That is the problem. Trump done the right thing because listening at the message that they sent out for the last 7 years about repealing this program, he campaigned on that. Now when time comes for them to live up to what they said that they was going to do, they're the one that's reneging, not the president, not Donald Trump.
Oh, okay. So you just caught me off guard because I like your answer so much. I have no question for it. So you really believe that Donald Trump right now in his first 6-7 months is doing an okay of a job despite all the craziness that's going on, all the bad rep that he's
getting? Well, the craziness that's going on is because Trump is not an insider. He has his intent on providing those programs that he may mention in his campaign. He's not an insider. He's not no politician.
You support the wall.
Oh, yeah, I support the law. The federal government has a responsibility to protect the borders. And people on the southern borders complain, American citizens complain about the activities on, so they need to protect the borders. There needs to be school choice where parents have a right to put their child where they think is best for them. If they want to go to whatever school, that they should have that along with vouchers in order to pay for it or pay toward it, whatever.
So okay,
I believe
like, I know,
in tax reform, too.
Tax reform? About
mm-hmm.
what?
Tax reform. For instance, a married couple filing jointly will have an extra $12,700 of tax-exempt income when they file their taxes. It go from $12,700 to $25,400. Your first $25,400 would be tax-exempt.
Okay. So you say you're from the Midwest. Why are the Midwest and the South people support Donald Trump more compared to, of course, we're from New York. We're Democrat state number one. Why do you think go with the Southern and the Midwest that support the Republicans so much if the Republicans have not done much for you guys in return?
Well, our state is completely red. We have a voter ID. We have constitutional carry in this state. We have tax reform in this state at a state level. So a lot of good things have came out of the fact that we have a red state.
So you did not care for Obama, or you think Obama did an okay of a job?
No, I didn't care. Some things he done good, some things he was terrible at. I didn't vote for him second time around.
Well, like any other president, nobody's perfect.
Well, he
job.
Was awful divisive. He was the most one of the most divisive presidents I ever seen. Devices on insurance, devices on immigration, devices on transgender, same-sex marriage, and so things like that. That caused a lot of problems. Even amongst black community, this thing with same-sex marriage, you know, you can respect it, but they do not accept that whatsoever. The thing with transgender, where a child can go to school in the morning, he's a male, at 12 noon he turns to a female and want to take showers in the girls' sports facilities.
True, I think that might be an oversimplification of it, but I do.
No, it happened here in Missouri.
Because I've seen a lot of progression happen over the last few years. And I think that what you're starting to see, you've been seeing over the last couple of years, kind of like a groundswell of support where a lot of people have felt like they have not been included in a lot of things. And I think this was part of one of the reasons why you're seeing same-sex marriages and transgender rights and bathroom laws, et cetera, have been happening. And I think, by and large, you're starting to see much more support over that than at any other time in this country's history.
Well, it depends on who you ask.
Anitra?
Wait, hold on. I'm not a Trump supporter, but I do agree that Obamacare needs to be revised. I wasn't a fan of it. Everybody knows this to begin with. I don't think it does well for the middle class. They can come up with something better. Why not?
Well, you know, years ago the emphasis was on doing the things that should be done to make yourself healthy. Now, here's the thing. I'm totally against the mandate. Trump has done away with the mandate. And if you have people that's doing things that's detrimental to their health, for instance, if they know that the doctor said they aren't supposed to be eating cheese and sweet things, well, let's do this. When you go out and order a pizza, and that pizza would normally sell for $10, and if records come up and show that you're not supposed to have that, well, then you should pay a surtax because you are doing something that's going to contribute to your ill health. Make them pay an extra $5, and that $5 go toward a health plan or a health account. If you're jumping off of bridges with rubber bands tied around your ankles, you should pay more in something because you are putting yourself into an activity that will detriment your health. If you use drugs,
that's
same way.
That's suicide. That's really suicide. You're going to jump off the bridge with rubber bands around your ankles.
What do they call them? Bungee car.
Well, people are dumb enough to do that. But my question, I have one question about the gay. And so do you accept gayness? Do you think it's allowed? Do you accept gay marriages?
Well, I believe that marriage should be between a man and a woman. But if the courts say that two men can marry or two females can marry, I can respect it, but that don't mean I have to accept it. I don't think that a baker who's baking cakes should be forced with the threat of being sued if they don't bake a cake that shows two characters, two males, as being bride and groom. If he don't want to do that, why are you making a person do something that's going against their religious belief, their religious foundings?
And it's funny, but we did talk about that topic a few weeks ago, I believe, Sean, about that. And we agree with the baker, you know, if you don't want to do it, the people could go somewhere else to get the cake done.
Well,
why have to be that? Is that right? Why have to be that baker? Well, I'm just more curious about it because this talk about the Midwest. I mean, they accept it, but it's more open up here in the East. Like everybody could walk out gay. We have gay parades. We have transgenders. And like Sean Black told me a long time ago, our show we look out for the transgender people, the gay people. We talk about it all the time. And it seems like the Midwest, they accept it, but they don't want to accept it. And
yeah, but when is it because of religion? Yeah, but a transgender person can change their orientation. You know, the courts just ruled here in Missouri that the Missouri Human Rights Act does not apply to sexual orientation.
Why?
It apply to biological. It apply against discrimination of someone because of their sex, not their sexual orientation.
So you tell me, if I want to become a woman, I don't have no rights because tonight I just have to dress in a bra and panties and high heels. I don't have a right to use a bathroom as a woman.
Well, if you,
if I'm not,
yeah, if you're
someone that I love,
if you're female, you suppose use a female bathroom. You biologically female, use a female bathroom. A female shower. You gonna walk off into a male facility, a male shower?
That's to cut you off. But here's the thing: most people have gone to a male bathroom or a female bathroom, gone in a stall, and not known that the person that was in the other stall away from them was either the same sex or not. Most people feel that if I'm going to use a bathroom, like there's a McDonald's not that far from my house. And they've changed on the door. It doesn't say male, you know, male or female or boy or girl or bathroom. It just says all gender inclusive. Most people will look at that and say, if I'm going to the bathroom, as long as somebody doesn't, quote, unquote, cross into the stall that I'm at, and I think that's what a lot of people think in that sense. So to
Well, you mentioned about the McDonald's bathroom. That's for one person at a time, generally. But I don't want my daughter in a bathroom when a man come walking in there, especially one I don't know nothing about. We have had incidents where kids have been disappeared and killed in those situations. I do not want a male coming into the shower of a female sports team that my daughter plays on.
You have a point there. I agree with that.
Mm-hmm.
Well, you talk about shower. We're talking about using a public bathroom.
Yeah.
It applies to everything. That's the thing. Where does it stop? See, if you can always quote something that you are comfortable with, but it just doesn't stop there. The government want to make you buy insurance. What's next? They want to make you go to a particular church. They want to make you take a particular vitamin. What's next? They never stop.
And you don't think the Republicans are doing that with us?
As far as what's concerned?
Trying to take over us, you know. Not tell us what to do, what to say, what to eat, the Republicans.
I don't think they're doing that, but they did win the election.
Yes, they did. Because there's something about politics, I'm not going to lie to you, I don't know too much about politics because I don't care about politics. But to me, most politics are a bunch of crooks anyway, and they're full of it. So that's why I don't pay them any mind.
Well, you in New York, you got Charlie Rangel's been there forever.
Oh, well, don't get me started about that guy. That is like the toughest. That's the top crook of all crooks for New York. So you got me there. But I want to switch over to the Minnesota. What happened to Minnesota between the black cop and the white woman? Now we have a role reverse. So all the time you hear stories of a black man being killed by a white cop. Now the roles have been reversed. But since you're from Minnesota, how do you feel about the black cop / Muslim from Somalia, an African, killed a white woman?
That's a good question.
For the record, this year alone, in 2017, 559 reported have been killed by cops, by police.
That's a good question. Mm-hmm. That black cop should have just as much leeway to use the excuse, "I fear for my life," as you have seen white cops use that same excuse.
And like I told Sean Black earlier, like, where is the Blue Lives Matter? But when we see this incident happen all the time, especially in Minnesota, where Fernando Castle got shot, they were supporting the cop. We see cops killing all the time. They get supported by other cops because this guy is Muslim and he's an African. You hear nothing but crickets around.
And you hear no support at all.
This should be a good case. He should have just as much of support as they do the white ones. You also had another case where a black cop killed or shot two dogs responding to a call at a white house.
Mm-hmm.
And the whites are all upset about that. I see where whites stormed the police station in Minnesota and demanded that the chief of police, which is female, resign, which she did.
True, but now they're asking the man to resign now because, like, enough is enough. So, Anisha B, hold on. Let me go to Anisha B. Anisha B, you see, I know you know about the story. What do you think? I'm like, how do you feel about this case overall that finally the roles reversed? A white woman had been killed by a black cop. And do you see race should be part of this problem? Or just another unfortunate incident?
Well, it's an unfortunate. It's an unfortunate incident, but as I said, we should watch and see what happened.
Okay, Anisha B?
Yeah, that's exactly what I said. It's an unfortunate incident. And, I mean, we have to see what happens.
We'd like to see what happens. But the crazy part is, We don't know what really happened. We don't know.
No, we don't. They didn't really give. They didn't give a lot of detail.
Well, the detail that they gave, for the most part, is that the woman, her name is Justine Diamond, she called because she thought she heard a sexual assault happening in the alley behind her house. So she called 911. The 911 responds. The cops come to the house with, one, no lights on, no body cams on. The cameras were turned off. And apparently she ran out of her house in her pajamas to let the cops know, because usually if you call 911, they will call you to let you know we have an officer in the vicinity coming towards you, et cetera, et cetera. She ran out to greet the cop to find out what was going on. The cops, who had the windows down but had no lights on and had no camera on, they said they were spooked by hearing what they thought was fireworks or a loud sound, and then just squeezed off shots.
But correction, Sean, they say that body cameras were off, but that part I don't believe. You cannot believe everything that you read or hear.
I'm not saying I believe that that was the case. I'm just saying what was reported. And in general, we have an idea what's been going on here. First of all, how many times have we heard a police officer killing the person that is guns drawn, the person that might have called in the 911 call? It's happened before. So,
yeah, it happened in Chicago where a mother called the police because her son was acting crazy. I think he was mentally. Mm-hmm. And both of them got shot.
Yeah. There was one in Georgia a couple years ago where there was a 911 call about a woman, a guy calling that his girlfriend had gotten stabbed. And he called 911, and the police got to the scene, and they ended up shooting, I believe, his dog. And they said they shot him because he didn't respond to them saying, drop your weapon, drop your weapon. So, you know.
Well, one thing you have to remember, you got different municipalities. All municipalities are not the same. But it's one thing that seemingly is the same is the way police officers get off after basically killing somebody.
Yes.
So most, but I think what my main thing about this case, K-Dog, I will get to you in a minute. Do not be surprised if this cop get indicted because he's Muslim. He's black. He has the worst of both worlds, and he's a cop. And, you know, you have, and it's funny, there's no, technically speaking, no video of this. While there have been videos of other killings, of cops killing people, for example, Fernando Castle, and he got not guilty. And watch this one, he will get indicted. So, K-Dog, what is your thought about this case?
Well, my thought about this case is that, first up, nobody should lose their life at the hands of the very same people that are supposed to be protecting them, because the word of a police officer is to protect and serve. And it's a shame that someone got killed. But you know what's different about this case, and allow me to say this, is that the police officer was a Somali American, and the woman that he shot was white, and it will be very interesting to see what happens, because, you know, with all the police shootings, especially the police shootings that have involved African Americans, they have always tried to look for the background of the victim. But now, with this case, I haven't seen anybody saying, well, let's bring up a background check of the victim. I mean,
you can take that on yourself.
No, but I'm just saying that has happened before. Happened before with many other police victims. It's not.
I know, but
a group of people
can take that on themselves and bring that issue out.
Oh, really? Because you know why? Because guess what? It's usually the mayor or the commissioner that digs up that information on
the victim. I think what Kato's trying to say is like, okay, Somalia cop, he pulled the trigger. All of a sudden, they brought up his records, so he had like three complaints against him. And the Australian lady, keyword Australian. So you got the
Australian. She's not even American.
Down. not even American, but like all of a sudden she's like the angel, the victim, and he has the cop with Somalia. All of a sudden, because he has three bad complaints against him, there you go, he's a bad guy right there. They're like, wow, really?
Yeah.
So once again, black people can't get a break.
No, we can't. I'm sorry. I have to bring it up. I'm not apologizing for it, but it's the truth.
No, I'm surprised they didn't say that the cop is a terrorist yet because he's a Muslim, you know? But don't be
surprised.
I'm not going to rule that out
yet.
Give it some time. You'll
hear
something.
See, the problem is usually in these kinds of situations when you have an African-American victim killed by a cop, like you were saying, the first thing that they do is a character assassination of
exactly.
that particular person. Whereas, well, Philando Castile, oh, well, he smoked weed, or he did this, or he did that. Eric Garner, what happened to him? Oh, well, in his possession, he did this and he did that. Whereas in this situation, one, there doesn't seem to be anything to find that we are aware of, and two, if there is, you don't see a rush to that news being dug up and being brought into the media. So what
That's
we see
the...
now is the actual case developing in front of everybody's eyes, and we're not seeing the exact same the same outrage or also the same urgency to find out the background of the victim as if it was the victim's fault and why she was killed. Usually when you hear an African-American or a Hispanic or any minority in this same situation, the media is quick to
what I'm saying.
17 years ago,
this person had a criminal record.
That's the reason why he did
it. Arrested for gun possession and all of that. They
always
run these things. And yet, that's why I say this case is totally different. It's a totally different case. And I'm speaking
the same, but different, as they say.
Yeah.
Okay, so go ahead, Anitra.
I don't care. I'm so sorry. But just to compare this one to that one and this one to that, who gives a shit? Okay? They're going to investigate. They'll find out whether or not this dude was right or wrong, and it will be over, and we'll be on to the next crap that we're going to be obsessing about. Seriously, who cares?
No, we can't. People do care because, once again,
because people
race,
are watching.
People are watching.
Race plays
an
issue.
To it.
Right.
The perfect example, like the O.J. Simpson that we talked about last week. They got parole. What happened? Most white people was upset that he got free, and most black people got happy because, you know,
he beat
he's
the
gonna
system.
Be free. He beat the system again. No,
that's
do we care about O.J.? Do we care about O.J.? No. So race will always be part of the system. And I think to a certain degree, that's why we care. And that's what we keep talking about, because once again, Anitra, all this for the last 3 years on the show, we talk about white cop killing black man. Now, for the first time, we talk about black man, a black cop with a white woman portrayed.
That's why the case is different. That's why this.
And then they'll investigate. We'll find out what happened, and we'll take it from there. That's it. I'm not gonna sit here and assume, oh, she did this, he did that. We don't know.
Maybe it was
This is an assumption, though. You're making assumptions. We really don't know.
No, we would, and we may never know because,
exactly.
to be honest, people that was there, the two cops, they probably don't know what's going on.
They didn't even have their cameras on, as reported.
No, I'm just saying.
I mean,
that.
It could have been a simple mistake where. The cop just got scared. People forget.
Oh, yeah, because they said that
cops are human. They're human beings.
They said that
just like me and you.
He fired his shot from the passenger side because she came near the car.
Do you think the cops should be charged for what happened, regardless of the mistake or not?
I honestly can't answer that because I don't know what was behind it. We don't know.
The same situation happened. Similar situation happened to your daughter. Don't you want charges to be brought up or a heavier investigation brought up? But regardless,
I would want
your daughter don't have any weapon. All she did is went up to the car to talk to police and cop.
If that was the case, then of course you want justice. But you have to also first find out what happened. People forget police are humans, but they're not robots. Everyone seems to forget. They say, but they're trained. They're not trained dogs. They're human beings. We have to try to do an investigation to find out what's happened.
Okay.
Until
and now,
then, we really can't. We can't judge. We don't know. We don't have answers. We don't know if it was a simple mistake or if he's a crazed psychopath. We don't know.
All right, Sean, I'll give you a minute before I go to the main event, man himself.
as I agree on the sense that they have to do their investigation and make sure that they have to get all of the information done. And I don't necessarily think it was about, you know, what you were bringing up specifically, but what we're talking about is the lack of what we normally would see in an investigation of some sort. That's about it. Not necessarily if it's right, if it's wrong, et cetera, but
no.
Those are the kinds of the systematic steps that we would normally hear if this situation was different. Now, do they need to be something done? Of course it needs to be done, more investigation to find out what happened. But the cops, a lot of times, need to be held accountable for a lot of the things that they are now getting away with and being recorded on camera doing.
Okay, and now, ladies and gentlemen, it's time to hire your women and children. It's time to hear Milton X himself.
Hey, Milton X, this is Brother B.
Brother B, man.
I was about, man. Trying to get, man. I ain't that rebellious now.
I understand Halloween is a couple months from now. You don't have to go and disguise yourself as Milton X.
You know what?
I gotta say it.
We got Brother B and the guy from Midwest. I'm sorry, I forgot your name. So Brother B, what is your intake about? Since you sent me a video this morning on Facebook, what's your intake about this Minnesota situation in general?
Well, first of all, greetings to everyone. It's good to hear your voice. Hey, Brother B, hi.
Greetings and salutations.
Yes, sir. Thank you. He's guilty. In the public eye, he's already guilty.
Of course.
The sad part is he's guilty because he's black.
Is he guilty of the crime or his skin color?
By skin color. And the only reason why I say that, because we already know there's a bias in this country. We already know that when it comes down to the policing thing, it's us against them. I mean, this is the biggest question that I have. I like how they want to say Blue Lives Matter. So that means you're alienating yourself from every other minority, every other color, even though there are minorities within the department law enforcement. If Blue Lives was such that it was so important, why do they have other little factions within law enforcement to protect the blacks, to protect Hispanics' rights, to protect Italians? Like, why do they have this stuff if the blue was such the best? Then why do you guys, you know, have these little interfactions protecting your own, you know, backgrounds?
I haven't seen one Blue Lives Matter come to the rescue of this cop.
That's my issue right there. Where are the cops at? Where they at?
I like our special guest tonight to answer that question. 381, are you still there?
Yeah.
Yeah, will you answer that question, please?
Well, we have to see what happened. Yeah, you have to wait and see. The department's got to do investigations, and you have to wait and see what happens.
We're not going to see what happens. We're not going to see what happens. This happened last week. Now, any other time it was a white person against, you know, shooting a black person, then it's exploded on social media and in the media. This right here has been very, very quiet. So we're not going to hear the truth. Usually, it was told to me by someone that, like a reporter, if you're going to listen to the news, listen to the first 24 hours. Because after the first 24 hours, 12 to 24 hours, they start to twist up the story.
Well, who exploded on social media?
Everybody, people. Does that.
Well,
and
then
people are not hearing it.
You guys can do that.
No, like I said, we're doing our part, but we don't see it. See, that's the thing. We are not seeing it. Everything is very quiet on this. And I find
what I'm saying is what I'm saying is this. Your group can get it going. You know, I mean, it just takes a group of people that gets things going, get it going. And you're talking about Minnesota. Minnesota is not Cleveland. Minnesota is not Baltimore.
Well, Minnesota,
they may do something different.
Well, Minnesota is where the incident happened, and what we're saying is that it's very quiet. Nobody's really talking about it as much because, you know why?
It's not quiet because people stormed the police department and made the police chief resign.
Yes, they did.
Well, wait.
What people? That's what I'm going to know.
Citizens stormed the police headquarters in that town and made the police chief resign. So I understand.
Okay, now usually when it's white on black, you usually see in the news a whole bunch of black people
just not
protesting.
To eat
but we ain't even see a whole bunch of whoever protesting in there. And like I said, that's my issue.
When you have a black community, a community that's predominantly black, 70-80%, and your police department is all white, if the police department is all white, whose fault is that? Policemen are employees. They're not the president. If you got a community that's 70% black and they permit that type of activity to go on amongst their employees, then the onus has to fall on the citizens.
Listen, it's not about what the community permits. We already know it's politics, so you can't even go there. Because if that was the case, if it was about the people, then Trump would have never been voted in.
No,
so
it's about the people. The people are the boss.
The people, who
is it about then?
1776.
Wait a minute. Who is it about then if it's not about the people? Do not people vote for politicians?
You all have to remember we're in an era right now where a lot of African Americans, one, aren't informed enough to know what's going on as far as certain procedures, who to vote for, what's going on. And then with all of the voter fraud ideology that's happening and trying to get people to lose a lot of their voting rights, which we've seen a lot of in the media all around the country, what we've seen with a lot of politicians are trying to stifle certain people's votes in certain communities. We've seen a lot of gerrymandering to make sure that a lot of people that are in districts are reconfigured so that people can keep their vote.
Well, that goes on both sides.
And it does. Oh. But it's usually who does it target? Because you know what? It seems to me that black Americans are the ones getting duped over.
No, it goes on in both sides. If you have black politicians, they try.
No, it doesn't.
Gerrymandering, fracking, and stacking goes on both sides.
All right. Well, so, guys, it's that time of the night. I have to be the bad guy. I have to thank you all for making this show very interesting. Thank you. I saw your name again from Missouri. You've been great tonight. I need you to call back again next week. Thank you so much for your input. Brother B, K-Dog, Dye, thank you for making the show great. Can't wait to talk about this again next week. Go Trump.
All right. Everybody have a good night.
Good night, guys.
Good night.
Have a good night.
All right. Wow, what a show.
Boy, that hour went quick, didn't it?
It did.
It really did.
But it still lasts longer than my sex life. But besides that, ladies and gentlemen,
It lasted longer than your sex life, but it's giving you 18 years minimum of double trouble.
Of course. Well, ladies and gentlemen, maybe this Thursday night at 10:30 or 11 o'clock, Sean Black and I might be back to do a sports show, a quick sports show, with a lot going on in the sports world that Sean and I would love to address, like the breaking news and Cleveland Cavaliers again. And Anitra B, Sean Black, as always, guys, thank you for making this crazy hour, this crazy show, wonderful as always. And that's it. I have nothing else to say.
Wow, Rob, speechless. Holy shit.
Yes.
Sean, did you think that this would ever occur?
I did not expect that to happen at all.
As always, ladies and gentlemen, the pleasure was all
yours.
Yours.
So, Anitra, do you swallow or
shut?
Oh.
You know, I was about to ask you that because I've heard rumors.
Okay.
Sh- Sean, does he swallow spit?